Hello. You are listening to the All Things College Podcast Show with Dr. Lewis. And today we are talking about the imposter syndrome. What is it? It was first introduced to me by my chair while getting my dissertation, Dr. Jody Hermada. Shout out to her. It was first introduced to me from her, and I didn't really know what it is. It's like you're not feeling good enough because you're getting through the process and you're looking back like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Who am I to think I can do this? Oh my God. It's like saying, you see all your friends rock climbing, then you start climbing halfway and you look back like, oh my God, I really got this far. Are you serious? Like, dude, I'm really doing this. And you begin to feel feelings of you not feeling good enough. I don't care how confident you are as a person, you're going to feel like that because you're doing something that only 2% of the country has ever conquered. Like, oh my God, I'm really doing it. And you guys, I was not the smartest person out there. I barely passed the 12th grade. I couldn't even walk across the stage. I almost failed. I had to go to summer school. That's my testimony. Everybody looks at me and thinks I've always been a Dr. Lewis. No, I did horrible. I started doing poorly in middle school. I started checking out mentally and just didn't like it and stopped trying after the sixth grade. Back then, my sixth grade was part of elementary school. Elementary was kindergarten through six. And then you would go to middle school, which would be seventh and eighth grade. And when I got to seventh and eighth grade, I really started doing horribly, you guys. It was terrible. It was like awful. Grayson, say hi. What? That was my cat. He said hi. I started doing bad, you guys. I lost interest in school. And then when I got to high school, it was really terrible. So if you were to ask people who I went to high school with, they'd be like, Lynette Lewis, a PhD. Okay. Yeah, she was pretty and she cheerleaded and did all and ran track and did all these things, but a PhD? Because I wasn't in gifted and talented. I didn't hang with the smartest group. I wasn't popular. Like, people knew who I was, but then they just didn't at the same time. I wasn't popular. I was known for being pretty and cute and stuff, but not really popular. I wasn't really that popular in sports or that popular in activities. I tried to be a part, but I always felt different. I knew I had gifts and talents, but I didn't know where to start. And sometimes God can bless you with so many talents, you don't know where to start. You don't know how to tap into them all. Excuse me. So that was me. There was times when my self-esteem went up and down. When I was younger, I wanted to so bad be a part. You know, we say that now and as adults, oh, I like to be me and this and that. But when you're younger, you don't want to be you. You want to be a part of something because you want peace. You don't want to be picked on. You don't want to be too different. You want to be alike, similar, but with your own flair. But you're not really think of soloness. You're thinking more of togetherness. What group can I latch on to? I want friends. I want to be cool. I don't want to be messed with. I don't want to be picked with. That was me, you know? I went through school, still did after school activities. My parents didn't give up on me. After going to summer school in the 12th grade, that's when I went to community college. Started working on an elementary education degree. I did okay, not too bad. And then one day while getting my hair done, shout out to Shakia James. I forgot her married name, but she was doing my hair at her house. She was 2 years younger. I was like, what? How old was I? 20. She's 18. And she's like, Lynn, my recruiter's going to pick me up to take the test to go into the Army. You should come. What are you doing right now? And I said, oh, going to college part-time and working part-time at retail stores. And she was like, come with me. So my parents were like, okay, go ahead. Talk to her recruiter. You stayed the night, met other military people, and you took a test to get into the military. Y'all, I swear to God, I'm not a good test taker. But apparently, I was great for the military, y'all, because I took the ASVAB, which is the military test for the Army, but my scores were so high that I did really great in the Air Force. So when I took the test and went to the military center, the Air Force wasn't supposed to do this, but they put me aside and said, look, Miss Lewis, your scores are really high. We want you to come for us. Can we send a recruit out to talk to you? Don't join the Army just yet. Because they were about to sign me up and give me a date when they was going to have me start basic training and start my military career. So I told them, hold off. And the military recruiter for the Air Force came out. Shout out to Sergeant Glazer. I don't even know if he's still alive. He was recruiting in the Catonsville area. And came out to the house. He just had a sweet presence about him. Really sweet, laid back, talked to my parents. My parents met in the Army, so, you know, they were kind of like, this Air Force thing was a little different, but they still felt familiar with what he was saying. They was like, it's up to you, Len. I said, I want to do it. And it changed my life in so many ways. I got exposed to living in different countries and living on my own at 20 and just overseas and living it up, you guys. And I even got married. Like, everything was happening for me, right? So I know it's a little long-winded, but I got to take you through this. And this podcast might run a little bit over. But anyway, I go through all of it. I had the military experience. I learned the trade. I do administration. I do base ceremonies. I cook in the kitchen. I cook on deployment. I participate in deployed. I got deployed to Italy, to Germany, to Holland, to all over in Europe. Really fun experience. I got out the military. Did a corporate job, end up going into federal service for over 20 years, retired from them, then went into education. But even while working for the federal government, I was like, I want to go back to school. My coworkers were laughing at me. Why you want to go back to school? We set for life. We this, we that, we this, we that. Because I moved up in the government fast. Like, I started as a GS-5. And I started off like, and I moved up the ranks. I was a GS-12 without any education, making like six figures before I even had one degree. So while I was in working for government service, I decided to go back to school and finish my associate degree. Then I did my bachelor's, master's. And then I went to a conference that changed my life, and I met all these powerful minority women doing things. And they were like, no, you need to go back and get your PhD. And within a few days of that conference, I got it. And for me, it was a personal goal. But once you get it, you step into the role of doctor, people see you different. They treat you different. And sometimes they make you feel like you shouldn't have did it. And I didn't realize that PhDs are also looked at as disqualifiers. People rate up against you. They challenge you. They attack you. They make smart comments. It's crazy. Like, all you wanted to do was challenge yourself. And people, it was a reflection to people's lives. People couldn't handle it, that you got it, they couldn't believe it. And people start treating you differently. It's crazy, y'all. And you develop that imposter syndrome because they make you feel that way. Like, you weren't the one that was supposed to get this. You were the one who were just this way. Like, you can't evolve. Like, you can't change. It's crazy. But it's worth it. I'm glad I did it. Please let my story encourage you that you can go after it and fulfill your dreams and do it, right? That is something nobody can take away from me. They can say what they want, you know, but it doesn't matter. I made history. I'm part of the 2% of people in the world who have it. I love it. It strengthened my confidence in a sense. It brought out the skills I had in me. I'm a really good researcher. I'm a really good writer because of it. I know how to analyze. I know how to work teams and groups. I know how to lead because a PhD process is something where you have to lead it. Like, you have a team, but they don't keep knocking on your door telling you, get up, work on your stuff. No, you got to take the lead and do it yourself. You got to really want it. So imposter syndrome, don't let it get the best of you. It is a phase of the PhD process, but you'll get through it and overcome it. Now, I don't care what people think. I belong here because I worked hard. I prayed hard. I sacrificed a lot to be here. So I don't care what anybody thinks. I worked hard. Nobody gave me anything. I deserved everything that comes along with this. And I feel proud to walk into it. And I don't let people make me feel bad. And I don't explain myself to people. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. I've had people try to, you know, insult me, say different smart sneak disses on the low, but I ignore that stuff. Yeah, it speaks volumes. I made history, and I just want every boy and girl in this country and in other countries around the world to know anything you want is possible. And God uses the people who aren't good enough, who people say weren't smart enough. Stay in your place. Who are you to think you can get a PhD? You can do it if you want it. You gotta want it, though. Nobody can want it more for you than you. You gotta want it for yourself. So this is Dr. Lewis signing off, saying don't let the imposter syndrome get the best of you. You got this. Keep up with the hard work, and you do deserve all of the rewards that come with it. Take care. God bless. This is Dr. Lewis signing off on the All Things College podcast show. Thank you. Bye-bye.